your place of service one day, you'll see lots of faces of people that you impacted you never even knew. And I appreciate both songs. Both songs. Thank You is one of my favorites. And I appreciate Miss Bradley singing for us. It is good to have Brother Bradley. And Brother Bradley, if you come on, and one of our missionaries we've supported now for several years, and they're in Mexico doing a fine job, and they're going to come and give us a report.
Very good. It's kind of strange to be here. I'm not supposed to speak Spanish to you, so if I do, I'm sorry. I'm just, for 5 years we've been trying to speak Spanish, and now I'm trying to speak English. So just kind of raise your hand if I say anything in Spanish that you don't know, and I'll back up and do it again in English for you. It's actually been good to come back here. I don't know how many of you think you were here when we first presented our ministry 8 years ago? How many of you were in this building 8 years ago? Put down your hands, you were not. This building weren't here 8 years ago. In reality, we presented our ministry in Mexico at the college. And you guys were meeting there, and so we came there, and that was 8 years ago. And I wrote down the date of July 2004. Probably that's accurate, but you never know. I wrote it down, so who knows. But that was a long time ago. And through the years, every time we come back, we see more people we don't know, and that's a good thing. Every time we see people we don't know, that means you guys are doing right. You're growing. And probably by the next time we come back, we won't be meeting in this room anymore. We'll be meeting over there. And so, you know, they always say primero Dios, or God first, or something like that in Mexico. So, you know, if God allows it, you guys will be advancing like crazy. And we won't see it but once in a while. And I'm okay with that. Because guess what? We're advancing like crazy, and you guys don't see it either, except every once in a while. So today we want to show you some of the things that have gone on, and my wife's going to narrate because we haven't had time yet to put the timing and all the words to it. But we're going to show a PowerPoint, and it's going to show you what we've been doing. Some of you say, well, what do missionaries do for 5 years? Well, we'll show you. I don't know where. Here we go.
We are the Bradley family, James and Lori, and we are your missionaries to Mexico City. While we were learning the language in Mexico City, we were involved in other ministries. This is working in a feeding center, helping some poor children in this same place. They also started a new church, and we helped the church with their vacation Bible school. During vacation Bible school, we met another pastor, and we ended up forming a friendship with him. We helped him in his vacation Bible school on several different occasions. And he's helped us. We've also gone and helped in another location. This is the far north side of Mexico City in a little city called Tultepec. And this is the opening day for a new feeding center. This is later when we helped with a vacation Bible school in the same place. And we are actually now ready to start our work in the time series. And we're where the circle is in Tláhuac, that portion of Mexico City. So welcome to Tláhuac. This is entering our part of the city. This is the blue building that you see on the right. That is our church building. And this is the neighborhood where we hold services every week. This is where God's called us. We started with English classes. It was a way to get to know the community, get to know the people, help them. We taught the Bible in every English class, and we saw people come to know Christ through our English classes. But best of all, they got to know us, and they knew we were there to help. We also then started a kids club. Even though many families that were Catholic wouldn't allow their children to come to church, they could come to kids club and hear God's word, hear the gospel. And we saw kids saved through that. This was after teaching on the armor of God. They each made their armor out of cardboard and stuff. We aren't an American church because we're in Mexico. So this is our celebration of Mexican Independence Day. That's James and our associate pastor, Pastor Ricardo. And they're dressed up in the typical Mexican garb. Here the kids are playing a game for Independence Day. And just as we believe, and you believe, that missions is the heart of God, we've tried to teach our people that missions has got to be the center of our church. So we started with missions from the very beginning. This is our first mission celebration. And these are our first missionaries. Tomas and Rosa Gomez are from Mexico. They've been working in Spain now for over 20 years. And these are the Castañeders. They work in Guatemala. And there are more recent couple. And then these are the Huicholes. It's an indigenous group that is in the northern part of Mexico. Four of these men have finished their Bible Institute training and are pastors that are reaching the little communities there of the Huichole people. This is our most recent missionary, and he is in a restricted access nation. You heard these verses this morning. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things." And that's our job, not just to reach them for Christ, but then to see them baptized. And this is our first baptism. It was very cold. Very quick. I want to ask you, have you received Christ as your Savior? And he says, yes, with all my heart. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I baptize you, buried in the likeness of his death, just like we do here. So that was our first baptism. This is Alejandro, who is now our pastor in training, him being baptized. Leo, one of the young men that had received Christ. And another one, Emmanuel, getting baptized a little while later. Christmas plays are huge down there, so we do one every year. This past year, we actually did two. The children did one and the youth did one. And those are always a big day to invite everybody, and we had a full house. And the teaching them to observe all things for us as discipleship classes, as well as other things. But Leo was our very first graduate of a 10-week discipleship program for kids. And he memorized his verses. He went through the whole program. We also have a 16-week class that we do with the teenagers and adults. And Olga was the first to finish all 16 weeks, to memorize all of her Bible verses, to take her test. And she's doing a good job. We have held several vacation Bible schools. This is James teaching the craft. Cynthia is teaching the Bible lesson. We also started Sunday school a year ago. And this is Alejandro with the children. There's the youth, and here's the adults. We've also been teaching about evangelism. Olga had a burden for her friend Adriana, witnessed to her, and Adriana was interested in receiving Christ, but wanted to talk to someone who knew a little bit more about the gospel. So Adriana and her sister Vero came to our house to make Christmas cookies. Afterwards, the gospel was presented, and both of them received Christ as their Savior. This is Vero, her husband Demetrio, her son Victor, and her daughter Hatsiri. Demetrio and Victor have also received Christ now as their Savior. And the parents, Adriana is her dad, and Mapi is the mom, and they both have received Christ as their Savior. They immediately said, "We want to study the Bible," and they invited us into their home. And so we've been meeting there in their home for about a year, doing a weekly Bible study. And we're praying that when we return from furlough, we'll be able to maybe start a second work up there. So this is the Bible study in Xochimilco. I don't know why that timing is so long on that one. All right. We need workers, and the only way to get workers is to train them. So James started Bible Institute classes about a year ago. We've had these four people in our classes, Aurora, Alejandra, and Jorge, are married, and then Alejandro. And this is him being voted in as our first deacon. So I want to see if you're in agreement that he can be a deacon of our first, of our church. If you're in agreement, raise your right hand. Looks like it's the majority of the members are in agreement. So congratulations, you are our first deacon. And we just want to give you a special thank you to you. We have taught our people that it's because there's churches like Heritage here at home helping us that we're able to be there. learn about the gospel is led that way. A very, very good thing. And we want to say thank you to you, Heritage. You were our very first church when we were on deputation, and now you're our first church when we've come home for our first furlough. You've been with us for these 8 years, and we know we can always count on you, not just financially, but we can count on you for our prayer, for your prayers, for your love. And we just, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for enabling us to do what God has called us to do in Mexico City.
It's interesting because there was another pastor in another good church. He's in Iowa. And he said to us, he says, if you're going to work, we'll support you till you come off the field. He says, if you're not going to work, we'll drop you like a hot potato. And that's the way it should be. It really should be. Missionaries are working for the Lord. And yeah, there's sacrifices that are made. You know, I don't know how many of you met Michael. Where's Michael? Where's Michael at? Oh, he's upstairs. There he is, upstairs. He's had to make sacrifices as a kid of a missionary. Missionary kids also make sacrifices. But you know what? We don't realize that they're sacrifices because we're enjoying working for the Lord. And I want to give you an example. You saw in the video or in the presentation, a lady named Vero, or her name's Veronica, and we call her Vero. And when she accepted Christ, it had been the first time in her life she'd ever heard the gospel. How many of you have heard the gospel a couple of times here? You better all raise your hand. You've heard a couple of times, I know. But you know what? Vero had never heard the gospel in her whole life. And her question was this. She says, of course she said it in Spanish, but why hasn't anyone told me this before? Amen. You understand that that's the deal. There are millions of people all over the world that if they had only heard the gospel, they might could make a decision for Christ. Right. And so whose fault is that? That's kind of a tough question, isn't it? So I want us to look up some verses. I'm sure that Brother Crawford has you guys doing sword drills all the time, so we're going to do some sword drills here. We want to look up in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, and normally when we do sword drills, the first one to find it has to stand up and read it. I think Brother Crawford found it first, so no. I'll read it. I got to read out of the English side of the Bible, though. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 says, But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You understand, when somebody hears the Word of God, it gets in their heart. A lot of people say, oh, I saved that person. That's not true. We guided them to the truth. The truth saved them. Accepting Christ saved them. Jesus saved them. I was just there, you know, helping. I had the glorious opportunity to be part of that. So that's the thing, is it says that it's in their... in thy mouth and in thine heart. When somebody hears the gospel, it's there. They know the answer. They just need to know how to pray and accept Christ. That's the easy part, right? That's the easy part. But the hard part is getting the word to them. Let's read a couple of more verses. This is tough because in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, just the next verse, you don't have to go far. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, is that hard? Not if you know. Thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Is that hard? Not if you know. Thou shalt be saved. So that's the formula. You have to believe. That's faith. You have to confess. That's prayer. Talk to God. It's so easy. Why haven't all the people in the world accepted Christ? Because they haven't heard. You guys understand, they have not heard. Whose fault is that? I'm not going to point fingers. The other thing it talks about, it says that they would be saved. How many of you know what they're going to be saved from? If you know, raise your left hand. I don't want to raise your right hand all the time. He was ready to raise that right hand right up there. What do they say from? It's almost like we say that they're already condemned. Who said that? The Bible. Let's look up a verse. This will be good if we look up in John 3:18. Who can find it fast? Who can find that fast? John 3:18. He stood up. Go ahead, Kelly. You got it. Read it.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
It says he's condemned already. It's like we start out condemned because we didn't believe. And why didn't we believe? Because we've never heard. Isn't that funny how that works? That's what it's about. When people can hear, then that's their fault if they make the choice wrong, you know? When people have never heard, they don't even have a chance to make the choice. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You believe that? Then what do we need to tell the people about? We need to tell them about Jesus. And if that's not enough, I'm sorry, that's the honest truth. We need to tell them about Jesus. Let's go back to Romans. Some of you kept your finger in there because you knew I was going to go back. Romans, let's read verse 11 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. How many of you are ashamed? When I think of my past sins, I feel a little bit that way. But you know what? I don't have to. Because they're forgiven. And yours can be too. That's the incredible thing about the gospel. Is it's kind of like a way to wash off all that stain that was on us from our bad life. The blood of Christ, that precious blood of Christ, makes us clean. Makes us good enough to go to heaven. Isn't that funny? But if you don't know, how can you claim it? Then it says, for there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek, or I could say the Mexicans and the Americans, or I could say anything. There is no difference. When we talked about we're already condemned, we weren't condemned because we were one ethnic group. We weren't condemned because we were rich or poor. How many of you are rich? There's nobody rich here. That's crazy. This place is full of rich people. No. That means you are all blessed of God, right? We'll say it that way. How many of you are blessed? If you're blessed or you're not blessed, it's okay. We're all the same. If you're from one country or another country, we're all the same. We were condemned because we didn't believe. And we heard. How many of you remember the person who told you about Jesus? Do you remember the guy that told you or the woman that told you? Or maybe you heard it on the radio. How many of you still listen to the radio? How many of you heard the first time about Jesus this year? Has anybody here heard the first time about Jesus this year? Nobody. There are people out there that haven't heard about Jesus. It'd be cool if we had some people that this year heard the first time and could come here and rejoice with you all. It says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Rich means He just gives us all that stuff that we ever wanted, right? Is that right? No. But it says that even though we have a mountain of sin, who has more sin than me? I don't know. Who has less to sin than me? I don't know. But you know what? My sin is enough. Whoops, I'm sorry. My sin is enough to keep me out of heaven if I don't get forgiveness. And the neat thing about God, He's like, just ask. And He gives us forgiveness. He paid the price. But if we don't know that, guess what? We can't be saved. Kind of scary, isn't it? It says, for whosoever... So how about we all say this verse? Everybody read this verse really loud. Act like you mean it, okay? I want you guys to be able to shout louder than I can with this microphone, all right? Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord. There's nobody that can't be saved. Now, the Bible talks about some sins that God's not going to forgive, but probably those people aren't going to ask forgiveness anyhow, so they're not going to get saved. But the thing is God's rich grace covers anything and everything. But we got to know. We got to know. What about verse 14? How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm sorry, that's just the way it works. Everybody always asks me, what about those people in South America that have never heard the gospel? Bad. It's bad for them. Why is it bad for them? You have to hear the gospel to accept the gospel. And there has to be a preacher. Does it have to be Brother Crawford, elegant preacher, with a great voice? Or could it be somebody like me that has a squeaky voice and not so elegant? Could be anybody. Could be you. Could be you. Could be you, sir. Any of you who share the gospel with somebody, you could be counted as this preacher that might be able to guide somebody to the Lord. I loved it this morning. That was a great sermon. I'm like getting on my seat and I'm ready to go serve the Lord or something, you know. How many of you have something? I don't want you to show hands because some of you might be embarrassed that you're not doing a thing. How many of you have something to do in this church? How many of you are working for the Lord? If you can't say to yourself, yes, I am working. And I don't care what it is. It might be sweeping the floors. It might be washing the windows. It might be opening the doors. It might be watching for coyotes. I don't care. If you're serving the Lord, that's what you should be doing. If you're not serving the Lord, you should be serving the Lord. And I tell you what, there are people here that are, you know, a little older, starting to serve the Lord, a little less of their physical. How many of you pray? Everybody better raise your hand on that one. Pray. You can all pray. That's serving the Lord. Okay, so everybody's done at least one thing, right? Youth, have you been praying? Some of them are thinking, when was the last time I prayed? Come on, you guys can pray every day. You need to serve the Lord. And guess what? God uses people that are busy. If you're so lazy that you never do anything, He's not going to use you. You need to be active. Start out praying. Start out asking, Pastor, can I sweep the vestibule? He'll say, no. No, he won't say that. He'll say, for sure, here you go. He'll let you work here if you want to. How many of you want to work for the Lord? A couple of you said, yeah, okay. You got two workers already. There you go. For me, that's the biggest thing. I tell our people in our church all the time, just ask us. You know, part of the job of a missionary and a pastor is part to equip the people, to make the people able to do what God has called them to do. If you're thinking, oh, God wants me to be a teacher, but I don't know a thing, talk to Him. He'll get you worked up. He'll get you trained up. He'll teach you stuff that you didn't even know existed, right? Isn't that right? I learned something this morning that I was like pretty excited about. This teacher here was telling me stuff and I'm like, that is so good. How many of you thought he could teach? Well, look, he's doing it. God can use you. And God will use you if you're willing. If you're not willing, He's not going to force you. God doesn't make anybody do anything. But He gives you the biggest blessing you've ever had if you're just willing. If you're just willing. We're getting close. Verse 15 says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I tell you what, I think my feet are pretty beautiful. You know, I got nice looking feet. But you don't want to see them because that's kind of gross. But you know what? My feet aren't beautiful because I got good looking feet. My feet are beautiful because I'm using them for the Lord. Some of you, I know, don't stand up here and preach and don't do all this stuff, but you are visiting people in the homes. Yeah. You are here Saturdays and Tuesdays, right? And you're working for the Lord. You've got beautiful feet. They might be ugly as all get out, but they're beautiful feet. Because you're spreading the gospel. Some of you have pretty feet, but you don't do anything, so they're not that good looking. Okay? You just need to put it in perspective of God, you know? You might have beautiful looking feet, but if you're not using them for the Lord, they kind of rate low. Why are you looking at her feet? He thinks they're beautiful and they're beautiful. Okay, I'm good. I'm good with that. Where are we at? How can they preach except they be sent? Does this church send out missionaries?
Amen.
I'm sure glad somebody recognized that. Let me think. Somebody look over there. Everybody look over there. Oh, keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Oh, look back there. Look. Oh, back here. Look. Keep looking. None of you looking. Look back there. Look over here. Did you guys know those were here? Some of you are like, whoa, that's the first time I've ever seen those. Well, get back there and read them. Some of them are prayer letters for missionaries that need your help.
Yeah.
And if you're not listening to their prayers and you're not praying for them, whose fault is that? Sending missionaries is hard, isn't it? How many of you have broken a sweat sending missionaries? How many of you helped missionaries pack their car? I know Stan and Roberta had. They helped us. How many of you ever helped missionaries out that way? Not just prayed for them, not just maybe even given money. How many have actually helped missionaries? How many have had missionaries in your home to eat good food, good Texas food? You know, in some countries, you're there for such a long time, all you want is some good Texas food. If somebody could have some barbecue, that would be good. In Mexico, they think barbecue is something different. It's got chili sauce and all that kind of stuff in it. It's different. But you know what? When we got across the border, we're like, we're going to eat at Arby's. How many of you have had an opportunity to be a blessing to missionaries like that? How many of you had opportunity but decided not to? Shame on you. How many of you think that next time you have an opportunity, you'll step it up and you'll try to be a blessing to a missionary? Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. We ought to all do that. We ought to all do that. So a church to send missionaries, that means prayer-wise, that means financial-wise, prayer-wise. Sometimes send them a little letter, a little greeting. Prayer-wise, did I mention prayer? How many of you pray for your missionaries? Who knows the names of your missionaries? Do you pray for them by name? Do you mention their kids? How many of you have prayed for Michael? He was a missionary kid. He worked as a missionary, even though he wasn't called to be a missionary. Guys, this is about what you're willing to do. When we're talking about missionaries versus churches, sometimes it's like a competition. You know, the missionaries are like, I'm afraid to go to church. I'm afraid to go to church sometimes. Because all I'm doing is I'm just serving the Lord in another country. I'm not some great preacher or anything. But you know what? We're partners. It's not a competition. We're on the same team. We're helping you do what you can't do. And guess what? You're helping us do what we can't do. I have a burden for Texas just as much as I do Mexico. I'm just called to go to Mexico. We pray for churches and we pray for the people of Texas. We need to be a little more active in our partnership, right? That would be good. Let's look at the Great Commission again. Somebody remember it? In Matthew chapter 28. I always like to start in verse 17 because it shows kind of how we are. Matthew 28:17, and it says, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him." Who worshipped him? The disciples. They realized this is not just a man. This is God in the flesh. We should worship him. And you know, Jesus. Some people say, oh, Jesus wasn't God. He was the Son of God. They try to tell you, oh, he wasn't God. He was just the Son of God. And I'm thinking that pretty much is the same thing to me. But he was God. You want to read the Gospels through a couple of times and you're going to believe that he was God.
Amen.
You read a couple of the other New Testament books and Old Testament books at the same time and you'll say, wow, it's the same person. It's God and Jesus. You know what? He was God. They worshipped him. But what does it say after that in verse 17? But some doubted. I'm telling you what, not everybody that hears about Jesus is going to say, "Ooh, I want to accept Jesus." Sometimes a missionary field, and it might be in Fort Worth or Hazlitt or Arlington or Mexico City. Sometimes it's hard because the people hear the message and they go, okay. They don't care. Does that discourage us? Does that mean we should quit? We should keep on going. You know what? There are plenty of people out there that are looking for a God that loves them. There's plenty of people out there that are trying to serve God, but they don't even know the God that exists. There's plenty of people that are burdened by their sin and they don't even know what to do about it. If we waste all our lives worrying about those three that rejected Christ and not get on with those that will accept Christ, we're going to miss out. We've got to keep on going, folks. We go until the end. Sometimes I see sports. Michael's turned into a sports nut, you know. He'll watch basketball, football, golf. He'll watch tennis. He'll watch anything. He'll watch anything. And he's just so excited when his team wins. How many of you excited when your team wins? Kelly's not. He's like, "No, I don't like it when my team wins." All right. Well, you know what? When our teams win, it's because they kept working at it. You don't get teams. What's that saying that says quitters never win and winners never quit? You know? You got to keep after it. The Great Commission wasn't a great, almost, suggestion. It wasn't until... It says until forever, no? Until the end of the age. It doesn't say until tomorrow or until you're tired or until you don't want to do it anymore. We're supposed to keep on going. Where was I? 17. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." And I am so glad. I'll tell you a secret. That's what I was going to preach on tonight. Somebody else beat me to it. I'm okay with that because he did a good job. I'm telling you, he preaches better than I do. He says, "All power is given me in the heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations." That means win them to the Lord. Lead them to the Lord. Tell them about Jesus so they can accept Christ. And then it says, baptizing them. And you saw we do that when we can. You know, sometimes Catholics don't want to be baptized. They've been baptized as babies. You know, they think it's weird to be baptized twice. But with time, we'll get them around. We'll get them around to it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things. That's discipleship, right? You saw our discipleship group. We're trying to teach. I know you guys are trying to teach. How many of you teachers are trying to teach and there's empty seats? I'm sorry, that's a bad thing. We should have this place full up all the time. Amen. It's good to learn more. How many of you want to learn more? Amen. He wants to learn more. Look at that. And he's shaking his head. Yeah, I want to learn more. He wants to be a teacher someday. Right? Oh, he went, "No, no, no." I don't know what he wants, but you know what? God does. Talk to God about what God wants for you. He says, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." God's with us. We don't have to worry about it. And if God's with us, the only question is, are we with God? How many of you are with God? How many of you know where Philippians is? Hurry, hurry, hurry. Everybody look for Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. You know, Paul was a missionary. I'm a missionary, but I don't put myself in the league of Paul. I mean, he was a great missionary. And he went out there to serve the Lord pretty much on a promise and faith. And there were some churches that helped him. You know, there are churches that have helped us. I can mention one church that's helped us since the beginning. Let me think. Where is it at? It's in a city or town called Hazlitt. Wow. Heritage has been good. Verse 9 says, "Those things which you have learned, both learned and received and heard and seen in me." That means his example. How many of you think your pastor has a good example? Everybody raise your hand. He gives you a good example. "Those things you do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So he's saying that when you're teaching people things, they should continue in them, right? And Paul's talking about this church that he started a long time ago. In verse 10 it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." What that means is they were supporting him from the start and they kind of stopped supporting him for a while maybe. And then they started back up again. That sometimes happens, doesn't it? Church has to kind of cut down their missions budget because somebody forgot to give. And then everybody gets panicky because the missionaries are suffering and then they raise it back up. This church never does that.
Amen.
They're always given. Solid, right? That's a good thing. He says, "For the care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Meaning, careful meaning that they wanted to do it, but they just couldn't. If this church can't support us because they can't, at least you can pray for us, right? At least you can do that. But I don't see that because you guys are growing, you guys are serving the Lord, you guys are wanting the world to be saved. Does anybody not care if the world gets saved? Everybody wants them, right? Everybody wants the world to get saved, right? I think we're all on the same page on that. And God will provide through this church. Because you guys are willing. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now and at last your care of me hath flourished again, when you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want." Paul didn't say, "Oh, I so much want more money." Really, that's not what missionaries... I mean, yeah, we need money to run, just like this church needs money to run. But we're not here to beg for money. We're here to explain to you that God's ready to bless you. It's a huge opportunity for you guys to support missionaries. And it helps the missionaries besides, right? It's an opportunity for you to have a blessing from God. And it's a promise of God. It's not my promise. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. God wants to bless you. And His formula for being blessed is that you are a blessing. Does that make sense? And He will bless you more than you are a blessing to others. It's the weird thing about God. He does that. It says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Paul's content whether he has a lot or not. "I know both how to be abased," that means how to not have much, "and how to abound," that means to have a lot. "Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul's ready for whatever situation. He's going to serve the Lord. Missionaries do that. Sometimes they say, "Oh, it's a sacrifice to go." Well, yeah, pretty much. But boy, there's blessings over there in Mexico that we've seen. To see some of these people that you've seen. You've seen their faces now, right? You're going to remember some of their faces, I hope, a little bit. Those people genuinely wanted to say thank you to you guys. Because some of them didn't know the Lord 2 years ago. Some of them, for the first time in their life, have heard the gospel. That's worth something, isn't it? You guys are doing good. God's allowing us to be part of His work in a place where you guys can't go. And you're helping us get there. We're a team. It's wonderful. But what's the promise? Where am I at? In verse 18. "But I have all and bound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." How many of you thought your mission offerings were sacrifice? Odor, how does it say? An odor, a sweet smell. An odor of a sweet smell. How many of you think money smells good? Well, I'll tell you what. When you give it to missions, it smells good. God's so pleased when you guys support missionaries. Because it's His plan. It's what He wants us to do. And if you say, "Well, I don't know if I want to do that." Okay, get right with God and then decide, okay? And then verse 19, this is the promise. "But my God," and whose God is this? Is just Paul's God? Or is it Kelly's God? Yeah? Is it Stan's God? Yeah? It's our God. There is only one God. It's not like His God versus our God. God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Who created the world? What's that? Jesus created the world. And John says the Word, which was Jesus, no? Jesus created the world. So if there's anything in the world you want, He can give it to you. You know what? If you're all after monetary gain, I'm sorry, you need to correct a few things. But if you're all about receiving blessings from God, whatever they may be, support your missionaries. Support your church. I'm just going to real fast kind of round out how I teach giving in our church. It's not going to be searching verses or anything. I teach 4 levels of giving. The first level, we call it propina. You know what propina means? It's tip. You're tipping God. That's the first level. A lot of people, they, what do I got in my pocket? Oh, okay. That's tipping God. That's not even obedience. You're tipping God. So I tell our people that. I say, if you're just tipping God, you're just making them upset with you. Better not do anything than just tip them. It's kind of like those waitresses, I'll give them a penny on the table, you know. What good is that? That doesn't help anybody. The fact is if you're not tithing, and how many of you know how much percent is tithing? Everybody go like this. That's tithing. This many percent. That's tithing. That's obedience. Amen. And you know why God said to do that? It says in the Bible, so that there's meat in His house, so that His ministry can continue. If you don't tithe, this church can't do what it needs to do. Amen. If you do tithe, you're obedient. Good for you. The next level is offerings. Free will offerings, the Bible calls them. If you want to give extra, okay, give extra. So your first level that's obedient is tithe. And then you give a little extra. Ooh, I'm feeling good about that. I'm giving extra. And that's great. In our church, we have 4 funds. We have our tithe. We have our missions. We have our building. Even though we don't have a building, we're hoping to buy a building. And then we have what we call, I don't know how you say it in English, our thanks offering. I guess we say acciones de gracias, but our thanks offering. Have you ever been thankful what God has done? Put a little extra in the plate. That's a thanks offering. That's what we're talking about. So then you got 3 levels. You got your tip. They're not even obedient. You got your tithers. They're obedient. You got your guys that are giving a little extra whenever they kind of feel like it. And then there's another level that the Bible explains is very crucial to missions. God gives people money. Through people, He gives mission money. And God will talk to your heart. And I don't know how your church handles the missions giving and all that, but God will talk to your heart and you will hear from God a number, more or less, that He wants you to give to missions. That's what we call faith promise giving. And you make a promise to God, I'll give that. And when you do that, that's when this blessing comes in full force. You guys will receive blessings like you never had. You'll say, I don't know if we want this much blessing. Maybe you won't. I don't know. But the thing is if you give to that highest level, it's not necessarily something you can calculate. You pray. God will talk to your heart. When you have decided this is what God wants me to give, even if it's $5, $5 a month, give it. He'll provide it. I've seen kids give $5 a month. Where did a kid get $5 a month? God provides. But the thing is if God tells you $100 a month and you give $5, somebody's in trouble. I tell our people, I say, if God gives you 10 pesos a month to give to missions and you go buy a Coke, you're in trouble. And they like Coke down there. I taught them to do a special offering. You want to hear my special offering? Yeah, you do. You want to hear my special offering? I gave up drinking Coca-Cola. I can't say now because as I'm traveling on my trip and I'm like getting really tired, I drank a Coke. So I cheated a little bit. But since December, I hadn't had a Coke. And I was putting 50 pesos, which is about $5 a week, into the building fund. You know why? That's sacrificial giving. God's blessing because people are sacrificially giving. We could go on and on and on, and your pastor doesn't want me to. So how many of you want to go on and on and on? He said, no, that's good enough. The big thing is I want you guys to pray with me today. I want to pray two things. Number one, that you guys know that it's all about God, what He wants. You have to tell God, I'm trying to trust you. I'm going to trust you, God. The second thing that I want you to pray about, there's three ways you can help missions. Pray, give, go. Some of you, God's going to say, I really need you to give because I'm going to bless your socks off and you need to give. And you're going to know it and you're going to say, okay, God. And some of you, God's going to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to bless your socks off with money, but I'm going to give you the opportunity of a lifetime. Some of you could travel all over the world, different places, and you're going to go, oh, boy, Kenya or somewhere like that, you know. This is what it is. You have to tell God that you give Him permission to use you however He wants to use you. So I'm going to ask you guys to pray with me right now. I really need you guys to think of this as a time of surrender to God. That you would let God talk to your heart. If God says to you, I don't want you to go anywhere. You're doing good. Just say, thanks, God. I'm so happy I can serve you. If God tells you, you better get ready. Start learning some stuff about how to preach. I want you to preach. Maybe some of you, God's saying, remember that neighbor of yours? They're about ready to be told about Jesus. If God puts a person on your heart, you pray for them every day this week, and you get yourself ready to tell them about Jesus. If God puts a people group on your heart, pray again. Be sure. But be willing to go. Be willing to go. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much. This church has been faithful. This church is growing. We see You working here. Lord, we're so humbled at the thought of the many missionaries they help. And yet, Lord, we know that there's a future that's even brighter, a future that's a church even stronger. We see the church growing with new members. And Lord, people who want to know You, people who want to serve You. I just ask in this moment, Lord, that You would speak to each one, touch their heart in a way that they would know it's from You. Help them to know what You would have them to do. Lord, I do know that there might be somebody here that in all their life, they have never truly heard how to be saved. And Lord, I pray that they would understand it's all about accepting Christ. Their sins are the burden that You can relieve. That they just need to accept the work Jesus has done, repent of their sins, and that they can accept You as Savior. They can be saved from this condemnation. I pray, Lord, that as You speak to each one of these people, that You might make very clear how You would have them serve You. Help Brother Crawford as he talks with those that are coming to him this week and saying, we really think that God wants us to do something. Help him to be able to plug him in and get him schooled up, to get him trained up. Lord, we just want this church to be so successful. It can be a model for others to try to serve You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Bible. We read it, we study it, and I hope that we can apply it to our lives today. Thank You, Lord, for all these things. In the precious name of Jesus.